For whom the raging of the sea subsides, the living sacrifice, the only source of life, oh my hope, is in the Lord. From this time on, and evermore, oh my hope is in the Lord forevermore. His tender mercies come with every rising sun to meet the sinner in his brokenness.
Offer healing and forgiveness.
Oh, amen.
Find a heart that rests. My hope is in the Lord. From this time on, evermore. My hope is in the Lord forevermore. Amen. We sing the song, Jesus, Lamb of God. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Yes, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Just one more time. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for giving us another privilege to come into the house of the Lord. Father, we are what we are by the grace of God. Lord, I don't find myself worthy to even stand here this morning. Lord, you know I'm a little nervous this morning. Father, you know how I feel this morning. But I pray, oh God, that you will come down according to your word, and that you would quicken my heart this morning and quicken the heart of your people this morning. And as you speak to us from your word, oh God, may the Holy Spirit just take over this morning. We remember our precious pastor, Lord. We pray that you would heal his physical body, for by your stripes we were healed. We want to remember the bride of Jesus Christ worldwide this morning. Wherever your children are, may you bless them. Bless the ministers that will be preaching the word this morning. Father, we are only men, oh God, but it takes the Holy Spirit to come down and stir up the gift that you place in this vessel. Oh God, may you come down and move this morning. Father, may I not say anything that is contrary to your word, and may I not hold back anything that you ordained me to say this morning. I pray that the people will be blessed, that the people will be moved this morning. May you bless us all, Lord, and receive the glory this morning. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Forgive me. I'm a little nervous this morning. Amen. I have one of those messages this morning. You know, when we have several different kinds of meals. Sometimes you have a mild meal and then you have the spicy meal. And I just feel this morning, this message is a little spicy this morning. Amen. So it's kind of making me a little nervous, but that's what the Lord has laid on my heart. So I pray that it'll be a blessing to you, that we'll receive from the Lord what he has for us this morning. I don't want you to look at me. I'm just a spare tire. I just say what the tape says. Amen. I'm no preacher. I have no message of my own. I just say what the tape says. Amen. So I pray that the Lord Jesus will come this morning, take away the nervousness, and give me that boldness to speak the word of life this morning. May we turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 22. We read verses 31 and 32. Hallelujah. And it reads thus, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. I want to speak on a thought this morning. What is conversion? What is conversion? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I pray this morning that God would give me grace to speak the word of life this morning. The word conversion means it's the process of changing or causing something to change from one form to another. The Webster Dictionary says conversion is the act of converting, the process of being converted. Hallelujah. Now, as we read in Luke chapter 22, see, this was the time of the feast of unleavened bread when it drew now, which is called the Passover. Jesus was at the point of his ministry when he was about to be betrayed and handed over to be crucified. He told Simon in verse 32, he said, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." In other words, after you are converted, then strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah. He said, now these apostles were with the Lord Jesus in his ministry for 3.5 years. They were justified by believing on the Lord Jesus and sanctified through the truth. In John 17, 17, it says, "Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth." Now in John 10, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease and to preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But they said they did all these things, but yet not converted. Hallelujah. These apostles were with the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years. They believed the Lord Jesus, he sanctified them, and he gave them power to heal all sicknesses, to preach the gospel. But if you notice, even doing all these things, they were not converted. Now, what is the purpose of conversion? We see in Genesis chapter 3, after man fell because of sin, man was separated from God. Death set in. Man was headed for total destruction, total annihilation. For by nature, we were the children of wrath, deserving of hell. But God, rich in mercy, took the form of man, came down, and redeemed Adam's race. John 3, 16 and 17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, God made a way of escape through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, which was types and shadows of the new under the Aaronic priesthood, the blood of bulls and goats could only cover sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sin of the worshiper. He said, why? Because the life form of the man was higher than that of his sacrifice. But those were types and shadows showing that there was a lamb to come to take away the sin. Because man fell and he lost his inheritance. Man got separated from God. Eternally separated. But for God so loved the world. You see, God took the form of man, came down to redeem man. The Bible says without the remission, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That is God's law. So when man fell, there was no hope for man. The Bible said there was no one found worthy. The angels could not redeem man because the angels were spirits. Now, it had to take man to redeem man, but you needed a perfect man, someone who had a perfect blood. But Adam's race has sinned and have fallen short, so there was no one with this perfect blood to redeem man. So there was no hope for man. But God, rich in mercy, he left glory, took the form of a man, and made a way of escape. God came down to bring man back to his original position. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we are looking at the type and shadows under the Aaronic priesthood that would bring the lamb or the bulls for sacrifice, but the animal's blood could not take away the sin of that worshiper. Because that life form, Brother Branham was saying, was higher. The life form of the worshiper was higher than that of the animal. So it could only cover sin. But that was pointing towards a lamb, a perfect lamb, that would come to take away the sin. Hallelujah. That is the love of God to redeem man. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, after Christ, God's Lamb, shed his precious blood on Calvary and died for the sin of the world, the chemistry of the blood dried up. But the life, which is the Holy Ghost in the blood, could now come into the believer who's the worshiper because it's a higher life form. And that life form is called Zoe, Z-O-E, that is God's own life, could come into the believer to identify him with the sacrifice. You see, Calvary came to bring Pentecost. When a man repents of his sins and receives Jesus Christ as his Savior, that's a part of the process. But that life in the blood has to come. It's not the chemistry. When Christ died, the chemistry dried up 2,000 years ago. But the life in the blood had to come into the believer. That is the life that identifies you with the sacrifice. Because the sacrifice is perfect. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So when our perfect blood was shed, it met God's requirement. God accepted that sacrifice. The sin of the world was placed upon Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb of God. So in order for your sin to be remitted, you had to be identified with the sacrifice.
Now, the way to be identified with a sacrifice is the life in that blood had to come into you. That's how you become identified with the sacrifice. So once you are into that sacrifice, you are safe. Because that sacrifice has been accepted by God. That's a perfect sacrifice. So all man had to do was to be identified with the sacrifice. So you see, we go back to Luke when Jesus was telling Peter to believe the Lord Jesus, to truly believe God himself called them. But they hadn't been identified with a sacrifice yet. Because the life, Christ hadn't died yet, but he was going to die. That was the night of his crucifixion. So after the penalty of sin had been paid, they had to be identified, but there's no way to be identified except by conversion. So Jesus told Peter, after you are converted. He didn't say Peter wasn't a believer. He said, after you are converted, then strengthen your brethren. Jesus said in John, he told Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot even understand the kingdom of God. Why? For that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a supernatural kingdom. We learned the last time that a man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble because he's flesh. But the Bible says a man that is born of God is eternal. It's the spirit. What is conversion? Christianity is more than what we say. You see, you have to take part of the divine nature. Brother Branham said, how can you live forever if you don't have eternal life? It's a reality. It's not because of what you say or how you agree with the scripture. It's more than that. That's wonderful. But you got to come in contact with God. Because there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God himself. Now, in order for you to have this life, you have to become a part of God. Amen. You see, they had to go to Pentecost. Pentecost was relevant. In order for man to come back to his position, he had to get to Pentecost. It was imperative for them to go to Pentecost. When Jesus, before he left the earth, he told the 500, he said, go to Jerusalem and wait. Don't do nothing else. The prophets say, don't go preach, don't do nothing. Go to Jerusalem and wait, for you will be endued with power from on high. Because that which is born of flesh is flesh. No matter how much they love the Lord Jesus, Peter, look at Peter. Peter was determined. But Jesus said, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me. Sheer determination will not do it. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle. They had to go to Pentecost. With all the sheer determination that Peter had, when push came to shove, he denied the Lord Jesus. Because that which is born of flesh is flesh. It takes something greater. You see, you cannot keep God. God keeps you. The prophet said, in on seed, there is no quickening. I want us to see the reality of this message. The reality of God. This is beyond, I'm in a message. You got to come in contact with God. This is the matter of life and death. Jesus compared his disciples to go to Jerusalem. Even Mary, his mother, had to go to Pentecost. Amen. What is conversion? Hallelujah. They had to go to Pentecost. Calvary brought Pentecost. In order to be identified with Christ, you need Pentecost. Pentecost is not a denomination. Pentecost is an experience. It's where God and man becomes one. That is Pentecost. This is reality. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are labored and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. What was he talking about? Pentecost. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Revelation, I think it's 26, says, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. Brother Branham said, no one is going in the rapture without the Holy Ghost. In other words, no one is going there without the Pentecost experience. Who is he that had part in the first resurrection? Who is the one? What qualifies you for the first resurrection? The Bible says he that had part in this first resurrection is blessed and is holy. This is God speaking. If you have part in this resurrection, you are blessed, you are holy. When God says you are blessed, you are blessed. But what qualifies you for this blessing? In a message, questions and answers on the Holy Ghost, I believe it is, the prophet said, the Holy Ghost filled people is the first resurrection, the elect. You see how he identifies the elect? Not those who claim to say they are elect. But what qualifies you as an elect? It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost filled people is the first resurrection, the elect. So the Bible, when it says, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection, the Bible is speaking to the Holy Ghost filled people. See what Jesus told Nicodemus? You must be born again. He was talking about spiritual birth. Yes. Nicodemus didn't get it. He said, can I go back into my mother's womb? See, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Hallelujah. Oh, let me go further. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May God help me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We went through that. Hallelujah. Please bear with me. Amen. It is very important to understand these things. The prophet said, I have to know what I'm doing in order to have faith. This thing is individual is fair. It's up to you what you do with it. What will you do with this Jesus called Christ? Amen. Just another quote that came to me. Brother Bram said, I'm just paraphrasing. He said, the sinner doesn't go to hell because he's a sinner. He goes to hell because he rejects the way God made for him. Amen. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But all will not come to repentance. The prophet said, only elect can be reborn. Jesus said, no man comes to me unless my Father draws him first. Who is the Father going to draw first? Name on the book. Who God did foreknow? Election. You are here this morning because you were elected. You cannot believe this message of God, we call the message of the hour, if you're not elected. We talked about it the last time. If your name is on the Lamb's Book of Life, the prophet said you will walk in the light. Which light? The word for your day, the fullness of the word. We see in the dark ages, man got away from the full word. But God came to restore. He said, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. When Brother Branham was baptized in a 17th person on the Ohio River, that pillar of fire came down. He said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun Christ's first coming, your message is not the man. It's the anointing. That anointing is Christ. It was that same pillar of fire that man Moses, the angel of the covenant. When we talk about the message, we're not speaking of William Branham. We're talking about the anointing. Jesus Christ. That anointing spoke. He said, your message will forerun the second coming. Your message. The message is Jesus Christ. He said, except a man is born of water and spirit, he shall even know why he's entering. This thing is a reality. Some that people think, he said, prophet said, don't judge God by your feelings. Amen. People do that. Yes. He said, judge him by the word. Yes. It's the word that qualifies. Amen. The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. But God, Abraham didn't ask God to confirm his faith. It was God that did it. But God gave him a seal of circumcision as confirmation. It was the confirmation that mattered. The confirmation is saying, God is declaring, I have accepted this one. This is my son. This is my daughter. It's the confirmation that qualifies you as a Christian. Pentecost. When a man truly believes God, God seals him in there by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's your confirmation. Goes beyond church. It goes beyond what you can do. This is God. Amen. That proves you are elect. That's your confirmation to know that your name was on the book. Hallelujah. Oh, let me read a message here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Please bear with me. The time is going. In the message, the unfailing realities of the living God. In 1960, Brother Branham preached this message. He said, Jesus brought God to human lives. God was made human. When Jesus was born, God became man, that he might become fellowship with man and in man. Hallelujah. To what? Achieve one purpose. That is to bring man what God is and not what church is. But what God is, Jesus came that he might represent God to man. Man didn't want it. You see, the Holy Spirit comes today in like manner to represent God to man. But man wants to go to church. It drowns his thinking. He cannot fathom it. And we must learn that God is not known by intellectual conception. Because you know the scriptures, you memorize the quotes, that's got nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. God is known by the new birth, by the Holy Ghost, not by any other way. Jesus, the Bible has plainly quoted us, no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. This is your prophet speaking that anointing. It's not even the man. Hallelujah. And if you've never received the Holy Ghost, you don't know that he is the Christ. For that's the only way he reveals himself. No matter how much you say Jesus the Christ, that don't mean nothing. It just shows you can read. It's the Holy Ghost. That experience, God comes to you and identifies himself. You have to become a witness, a partaker. That's what makes you a Christian. This is your prophet speaking, that anointing. When I say your prophet speaking, don't even look at Brother Branham. This is not Brother Branham's mind. God only used that vessel. We learn in Amos 3:7, God used prophet. Says, surely the Lord God will do nothing but reveal his secrets to his servant, the prophet. We learn that in the scriptures, God used it as an anointing of Elijah 5 times. He brought it upon Elijah, then Elisha, then John the Baptist. Now it's on Brother Branham. It's not Brother Branham. When that baby was born, that anointing, the same pillar of fire that met Moses, came down upon this baby. We know his testimony. It was that anointing that put him in his position. When he was confused, it was that anointing. So when I said a prophet, don't look at Brother Brenham. It's the anointed. A lot of people get stuck with the man. You see, that's how human is. If we go back in the scripture, when Israel wanted a king, they had a prophet. But they wanted a man. Man is always looking for man. Samuel thought he was rejected. God said that they didn't reject you. They rejected me. Because it wasn't Samuel, it was God. God always uses prophets. If you stop at a prophet, you miss it. It's the anointing. The prophet is of the scene. The anointing is still here. What is conversion? This thing is serious. Hallelujah. Brother Bram said, you are not converted until you receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible said so. He said, after Peter had both been saved and sanctified, gave power to cast out unclean spirits and to preach the gospel, Jesus plainly told him he was not converted. Just look at that. Until he received the Holy Ghost. You see, he had to go to Pentecost. This is God's order. You got to come. If you want to go into God's heaven, you must come God's way. It's a process. You see, their names was on the Lamb's Book of Life. But they had to go through the process. You cannot skip that. You cannot say, well, I'm elected, and you skip that. You actually have to go through the thing. You were elected. That's why you have to go to Pentecost. Because that's God's process. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the message, I am the resurrection and the life. Brother Brown preached his message 62. He said, you can get so much on the word you think. Oh, the word. The word, that's right. But the gospel came not in word only, but through power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. He said, until the word is made life, see, wheat's all right in your hand, but you never get a crop out of it. You got to bury it and let it take on new life. Is that right? Now the word is right. This is God's way, of course. But just the word, the letter kill it. But the spirit give it life. See what I mean? So it's beyond the prophet's head. It's beyond, I believe, the message. Brother, you got to come in contact with the supernatural. You see, when I'm holding an orange in my hand, you can describe this orange the best you can. And you may be right. But until you take a bite of that orange to taste it, you have no idea what it is. The only one that knows what the orange really is the one that's eating the orange. You have to become a partaker. The disciples had to become a partaker of the Holy Ghost before they knew him on the outside. They saw what he did, but they were flesh. God took them from natural to supernatural. God is supernatural, Brother Branham says. And when God is, the supernatural is. God is a spirit, Jesus said. They that worship him must, mandatory, worship in spirit and truth. How do you worship in spirit? You got to come into spirit. How can you come into spirit? By one spirit. We are all baptized into one body. Pentecost. There's no way around that. Man was a supernatural being. He fell from supernatural to natural. Now, to come back to supernatural, he's got to come to Pentecost. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. In another message, questions and answers on the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham said, now let's notice, Jesus in Luke 24:49 had commissioned the apostles after they had been saved and sanctified according to the word, justified by believing in the Lord Jesus, sanctified in John 17:17. Hallelujah. And gave them power to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, and they come back rejoicing. The prophet saying, and your names were on the Lamb's Book of Life. know their names was on the Lamb's Book of Life, but they were not yet converted. Their names was on the Lamb's Book of Life, but they were not yet converted. So they had to be converted. That's the reality. That's where the rubber meets the road. When you go and apply for a job, no matter how you claim you got that job, until the HR give you a letter, you are hired, you don't have a job. When you're traveling overseas and you need to go into a country that requires a visa, no matter what you do, you can get on the plane and fly to that nation. Until you have that visa, you'll never enter. When you claim to be a driver and you don't have a driver's license, when the cops pull you over, he will ask you for license and registration. The license certifies that you are a legitimate driver. No matter how well you can drive, the cop doesn't care about that. All he's looking for is that driver's license. That's your token. That's what certifies you to be in the road. Registration is what certifies that car to be in the road. That's the natural. You see it? So it's not so much of what you say, it's the confirmation. Prophet said you're believing unto eternal life, but when the Spirit comes, it is eternal life. I'm just going ahead of myself. He said when a man repents and is baptized, I'm just paraphrasing, in water in the name of Jesus Christ, you receive Christ, you believe the message, you accept Christ, you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's all good, but you're still not converted. You are believing unto conversion, unto the Holy Ghost. You are believing unto eternal life. But when the Spirit comes, it is eternal life. People miss this. A lot of people miss this. People come to stop at baptism. They never go into Pentecost. We got to get to Pentecost. People are so afraid of Pentecost. Take this off. Pentecost is your lifeline. Until you get to Pentecost, there's no body change for you. You're deceiving yourself. I'm sorry to say it, but that's the word of God. We must come to Pentecost. Pentecost is not a denomination. Pentecost is an experience. You must become a witness. Conversion. Brother Bram says conversion itself is the Holy Ghost. You're not even converted till you get the Holy Ghost. You're just believing onto. Those guys in Acts 19, those Baptists, they were believing. If you notice, the Bible said they rejoice. But when Paul met them, he said, have you received since you believe? Have you become a partaker of this divine nature since you believe? They hadn't even heard of the Holy Ghost. So he brought them back to the prescription. Unto what were you baptized? They said, unto John. Well, John's baptism was unto repentance. But you got to be rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. Brother Branham said there are three ordinances. Communion, foot washing, and water baptism. There are ordinances that we should carry out, but that don't save you. So they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came. Now, if you look at the scripture, it says, before it says, while Apollos were preaching and proving by the scripture that Jesus was the Christ, they rejoiced. But when the Holy Ghost came, they magnified God. Look at the difference. One, they rejoiced, they heard the word, they were flesh. But when the Holy Ghost came, now they started to worship. They that worship must worship in spirit. The importance of revelation can never be overemphasized. Revelation is the new birth. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, prophet said here, let me read something here. He said, you are believing unto eternal life, but when the Holy Spirit comes, it is eternal life. You are believing unto, you are begotten of the Spirit at sanctification, but never born of the Holy Spirit of the Spirit until the Holy Ghost comes in. He said, that's correct. He said, a baby's got life in the mother's womb. Little muscles are quivering. It's a life, but it's a different life when it breathes the breath of life. Hallelujah. He said, we find out that the Holy Ghost is God himself in you. No wonder you become a Superman. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, God was above you in the pillar of fire with Moses. God was with you in Jesus Christ. Now God is in you in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. In another message, questions and answers, Brother Branham said this. He said, now the next question is it true that you are not saved unless you have received the Holy Ghost? He said, there could take about a good 5-hour discussion on that. He said, when you accept Christ as your Savior and are then ready for baptism in water, you have not yet been converted. You are only believing unto repentance. Conversion means to be changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, now to make this efficient, Jesus said to Peter, who had also followed him for 3.5 years, and in the book of Matthew 10 chapter, Jesus gave Peter power against unclean spirits to go out and cast them out, to heal the sick, and to preach the gospel. He had power to do this. And then in John 17:17, we read that he sanctified Peter through the truth, said the word was the truth. And he was the word. He said, before Pentecost, he said, after you are converted, then strengthen your burden. You are only taking steps to conversion as you believe and are acting. So when you repent, you're taking steps towards conversion. You are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You're still taking steps towards conversion. But you got to get to Pentecost to be converted. That's what qualifies you for this resurrection we're talking about. We're talking about body change, but you have to be in position. You have to become a partaker of this divine nature to be a candidate for body change. It's the Holy Ghost that lets you know that you are elected, that lets you know you are bride. Potentially you are, but you got to come into the fullness of the thing. Hallelujah. And you talk about Abraham who went through that. All right, I'm just running through these. Amen. Hallelujah. In another message, the angel of God, he said, no wonder Billy Graham said, why can't we have a revival? Well, you can't have a revival just on theology. You've got to have an old-fashioned God-sent sin-killing revival that gets the people up to the altar and they die out to self and sin. Then we have a revival. But just stand and say, I accept Christ as personal Savior and sit down. That's mental. See how people deceive. This is that anointing speaking. Just say, I accept Christ. I believe the message and baptism. That's mental. You got to go on. He said that new birth is an experience. It's a gift of God. Let me inject something here. Remember in the scriptures, when Peter went to the house of Cornelius, the Gentiles, because he had the keys. While Peter spake these words, the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell. The Bible says, to say, just paraphrasing, then Peter knew that the Gentiles had received grace from God. How did Peter know Gentiles received grace from God? Grace from God. The Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is the grace of God. That's how you identify with that sacrifice. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is a seal. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Hallelujah. He said, when the Spirit of God comes into a man, it quickens him. Then he becomes a new creature. He believes in the immortal God, and he believes that he does all things and his heart's in tune with God. It takes the Spirit to get you that faith. We talk about faith as a substance. A lot of people believe God here, mental faith. It takes the baptism of the Holy Ghost here to give you that real faith. Amen. The Bible says no man can call Jesus the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's where the rubber meets the road. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, if you say, this is the prophet speaking, if you say you believe honestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the sin. He preached in 1953. He said, if you say you believe and you don't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you do not. Your faith isn't accepted in the sight of God. You've got a mental faith in the stead of a heart faith. So if you say you're a believer and you haven't had an experience, the prophet is saying you haven't believed yet. God has not accepted you yet. Bible says, be not deceived. It's God that gives the Holy Ghost. The pastor can do it. The preacher can do it. It's God. Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you. You got to come with the deepest of sincerity. God is in charge of that. See, God was in charge of Israel in the first Exodus. I was thinking about that, I think, this morning. Look what God did. He led them to the Red Sea. Moses went out of Egypt before he knew a better route. Now, the all-knowing God, don't you think he knows a better route? He created everything. But he trapped them at the Red Sea. It was God that led them there. I was thinking of that. That came to me this morning. Why? The question is. See, God was going to wipe out Pharaoh's army. So he made as if the children of Israel stuck. Moses didn't understand it. You see, Moses was just following the pillar of the fire. The angel of the Lord was in charge. He was the real general, not Moses. So he made as if the children of Israel was trapped on the Red Sea. So that encouraged Pharaoh. The guy probably got excited. Oh, we got them now. God didn't open the Red Sea. Moses was crying. He didn't know what's going on. But when Pharaoh came near, what did the pillar of fire do? He led the front of Israel and came between Pharaoh and Israel. Then he opened the Red Sea. And then when he led the children of Israel go through, probably almost to the clearing, then the pillar of fire left and Pharaoh pursued. See what God was doing. But Moses had already prophesied the Egyptians, you see today, you'll see them no more. He had to come in line with the program before he didn't get it. He was confused, he was crying. But when he came to himself, he realized the program of God. He prophesied. He was a prophet. So that prophesied, it wasn't Moses the man, it was that anointing in Moses. God is in charge of this thing. We need to recognize God, Christ. The brother came here from Nigeria, was preaching how when the children of Israel were spilling up, God started messing with the wheels to slow them down, to give the children of Israel a chance to clear. See, God knew what he was doing. But Moses had to follow, you see? God will work, the prophet said, as you obey his laws and instruction. Why are people so afraid of Pentecost? People so afraid of the Holy Ghost. People don't care about it. They love the quotes, we go in the rapture, but they don't want to go through the process. You got to go through the process. There's no other way. If God will make his own apostles not to do nothing but to go to Pentecost, every man, every son and daughter has to go through that way. We learn that God is infinite. And what God did one time, he does always. Even the prophet had to go to Pentecost. But Elijah, our pastor, had to go to Pentecost. We know his testimony. Hallelujah. Conversion. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said here in the message, token, preaching 1963, paragraph 154 and on down. He said, and he gives us the sign of the Holy Ghost that he has recognized us as believers. God recognized you as a believer by the Holy Ghost. Not so much of what you say. Potentially you are. But when the Holy Ghost comes, then God recognizes you. God recognized Abraham's faith by the seal of circumcision. When Cain and Abel went to bring the sacrifice, God confirmed Abel's by the fire. They were both sincere. They both brought sacrifice. But God recognized Abel. It's the recognition. Comes back to God. It's not so much what we do. It's what God does. That's the main thing. When you're traveling overseas, you don't just sit down and say, I'm traveling. You have to get your documents in order. You understand? You can tell everybody you're traveling, but until you get your documentation in order, because that is where the rubber meets the road. Because when you get to the airport or you get to that country, it's the documentation they want to see. That's all, because that speaks volume. So then what you start doing? You start running out the paperwork, getting your documents in order. Even though you're traveling, but your documentation preparation will be, your traveling will be based on how much preparation you've done with the documentation. Because it's the documentation that will take you through. You understand what I'm saying? So no matter how much you claim you're a Christian, it's the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost that will take you through. People overlook this. We must become partakers of the divine nature. God is real. But you got to be a witness. I got to be a witness. That's what it comes down to. That's the whole message of Malachi 4. How do you become identified with a sacrifice? Because your identification with this sacrifice is your token, is your ticket through. The safety is only in Christ. Amen. Our concern should be, how do I get into Christ? Every individual. Paul said, though I have knowledge, I do this, even give my body to be burned. If I have not charity, he was talking about the giver. It profit me nothing for a man to give his body to be burned for someone. That's love. You have to like somebody to give yourself. But Paul said, even if you did that, it won't profit you nothing. Hallelujah. Conversion. Hallelujah. Amen. In the message, mark of the beast, the mark of the beast and the seal of God. He said, now the Holy Spirit is the seal of God. If you say you believe and haven't received the Holy Ghost, then God's never recognized your faith yet. Let me read again. He said, now the Holy Spirit is the seal of God. Seal means approval. Now if you say you believe and haven't received the Holy Ghost, then God's never recognized your faith yet. Because the seal is the recognition that God has completed and finished his work in you, that he recognized. Hallelujah. Amen. So someone said, why do you make it so loose, Brother Branham? Saying in John 5:24, when Jesus said, but he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life. There's only one type of it. That's God's life. See? He that heareth my word and believe. When a man truly believes, God seals him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That proves you really believe. No matter how much you say, it's a confirmation. He that heareth my word, Jesus said, and believe it, hath eternal life. When you truly believe, God gives you that eternal life by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see how it works? It's not just mental. I believe, you just say, I agree with it. But it got to come from here to here. When it drops down here, God seals you with the Holy Ghost. Those guys in Acts 19, when Apollo was preaching, they believed so much that they were rejoicing. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. They were believers. They believe, but they still haven't received yet. They hadn't come into the reality of the thing. So when Paul met them, you see, Paul didn't say, glory to God, hallelujah. You believe. He said, have you received? That's the main thing. He went straight to the point. In Acts 2, when those men said, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? Peter went straight to the point. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, I'll give it to you. He said, you shall receive. God promised in Joel 2. He said, I'll pour out my spirit. So when a man truly believes, God is faithful. When you follow God's laws and instructions, God is obligated to give you the Holy Ghost. But you got to make yourself available. That's the preparation for the rapture. We're talking about body change. That's how you get into body change. Hallelujah. Conversion. After you are converted. Jesus made sure to let Simon know he had to be converted. Their names, the prophet said, was on the Lamb's Book of Life. But they had to go through the process. You cannot escape the process. If you bypass the process, you're cheating yourself out. Satan will try to keep you away from that process as long as he can keep you. Amen. The kingdom of heaven, we said, suffered violence according to the scripture. The violent take it by force. You got to go take it. It's your life. On that day, you can't blame Pastor Elijah. Say, I didn't know. He preached the gospel. Prophet said, what would you do now with this Jesus called Christ? His blood is on your hands. Pilate tried to wash it off. He couldn't. Prophet said, the only way you can get that blood off your hands is to put it in your heart. When God makes a way of escape and you refuse it, then he will ask you why. See? It's the rejection of the escape. We Adam's race, we were born and caught up, we were strapped in sin. So we couldn't help it. We were born in sin, the Bible said, shipped in iniquities, come to this world speaking lies, you can't help it. But God made a way. But if you read, now you have the choice. There's no excuses now. God made a way so you don't have to stay in that sin. All you have to do is accept it. That's it. It's not by works, it's by faith. Amen. The grace of God. God wants to give you the Holy Ghost. But what are you doing on your end to receive it? If you haven't received it. Brother Brown said there are three kinds of believers in every assembly. The true believers, what make them true? The Holy Ghost. Then you got the make-believers. You may act like a Christian. You may walk like a Christian. Carry your Bible like a Christian. He said, but until that eternal life, it's the birth. You're a Christian by birth. Nothing else. That's the main thing. Conversion. He said, now in the message adoption. He said, now I'll be done soon. I'm running through this real quick. Please bear with me. He said, and then God gave his children new birth by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said they came right near it when they cleaned themselves up through Nazarene pilgrim holiness. Then come into the experience of Pentecost or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The restoration of the gift. They went forth speaking with tongues and interpret tongues and giving gifts of healing and miracles. And signs and wonders began to accompany them. Now they were children. They're God's children. They're positionally in Christ. They become children by birth. He said, and the new birth and the conversion itself is the Holy Ghost. You are not even converted till you get the Holy Ghost. This is your prophet speaking. Hallelujah. He said, in questions and answers, he says, now before you receive the Holy Ghost, you are believing unto eternal life. He said, but you do not have eternal life until you receive the Holy Ghost, because it is eternal life. The Holy Ghost is God. is God's life in you, then you've got eternal life. Do you understand that now? Let me read it one more time. He said, now before you've received the Holy Ghost, you are believing unto eternal life. But you do not have eternal life until you receive the Holy Ghost, because it is eternal life. The Holy Ghost is God. It's God's life in you. Then you've got eternal life. Do you understand that now? Hallelujah. So if you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet, you are believing unto eternal life. You haven't completed the process yet. Doesn't mean you were lost. But you gotta go. You must be a partaker. The apostles, their names were on the Lamb's Book of Life, but they had to go receive the Holy Ghost. There's no other way around it. So God called you to this message. You believe this message because you were seed of God. Because the prophet said, in non seed, there is no quickening. You cannot believe this message unless you receive Abraham's seed. But you got to go through the process. In the first Exodus, they came out of, they didn't stay in the wilderness, but went into, that's full completion, redemption. Coming out of and going into, those who didn't believe, they die in the wilderness. But those who believe came out of and went into. You got to come out of and get into. A lot of people come out of and they are stalling. They got mixed up in church politics. That's why we have all these problems. People haven't been converted. It's that simple. We judge God not by our feelings. We judge God by the word. You must come out of and get into. It's mandatory. No one can do it for you. You got to come upon ground, the prophet said. You, it's up to the individual. God is waiting. He said, come unto me. He's calling you. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you got to come. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens, you got to open the door. Then I will come in. If you hear the voice and you open the door, the Bible says in Revelation, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Not what Brother James is saying. It's got nothing to do with me. Doesn't mean I'm exempted. The Spirit of God is speaking to all of us here. Don't look at me. I'm nothing. It's that anointing. This is not my thoughts. I wasn't born when this was spoken. We got to come into. We're talking about body change. But that's a process. It's up to you. What will you do with Jesus Christ? It will determine how much you want to go in this rapture or not. It's up to you. He said, behold, I set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. The door is open. You got to walk. The angel told John, take the book. I came down, I got the book. You take it. John represented the bride. You got to go take the book. People don't want to take the book. People, we enjoy church. We're playing around. Brother, take the book. Conquer yourself. Take the book. Come into Christ. There's the only safe place. It's in Christ. Conversion. What is conversion? It's Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost. When you get on your knees to pray, God hears your prayer. You got to come. Just as I am without one plea. He said, many say, Lord, Lord, but they don't do it. He said, the people honor me with their lips, Jesus said, but the heart is far. We come, we shout, hallelujah, praise God. But God wants your heart. He wants to give you the Holy Ghost. That's what he's interested in. The people honor me with your lips. We bless you, Lord, but the heart is far. Not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, will enter. He wants your heart. God wants to dwell in your heart. Amen. He wants to become one with you. That's what he's interested in. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. The heart. those disciples of John, of Apollos, they rejoiced. But when the Holy Ghost came, they worship. God is spirit. They that worship must, mandatory, worship in spirit and truth. We know we have the truth. But we need to enter into spirit. By one spirit, the prophet said there is one hope, one faith, one baptism, not water. Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said Paul was down here in the natural realm with his PhD, see? He didn't know he had an intellectual faith, but he didn't have a divine faith. That's quite a difference in me having an intellectual faith than a divine faith. That's the prophet speaking. There were you, my Baptist friends, failed to go on. You get the intellectual faith by that. But it must be a divine revelation of Jesus Christ to you that takes the sin out of your heart. Somewhere the prophet said, I've heard that quote before, I'm just paraphrasing. He said, until the burning fire of the Holy Ghost cleanses your soul from sin, you're still a sinner. I'm just saying what the tip says. That's what the prophet said. Hallelujah. He said, intellectual faith is not enough. That's all right. But it only brings you to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is a personal experience of the birth, the new birth, regeneration, making a new creature in Christ. It's the Holy Ghost that makes you a new creature. Not knowing the scriptures. Not knowing the quotes don't make you a new creature. Knowing the quote and scripture just shows you can read. That's all. It's an experience. Now one more quote. Oh, beautiful. He said, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. He said, not you join a church. You shook a hand or you done something different. You said a creed. You promised to live by a code of rules. But Christ, the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place is Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. He said the new birth is Christ. It's a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's a new birth. Oh, if the church only knows its position, it will one day. See, it's not up to man. Hallelujah. Then the rapture will go when they know what it is. So the church can know these things by the birth. This thing is a supernatural thing. It's God that's in control. He said, Paul, he said, did you notice? Paul never knew Jesus physically. He never knew him. The only way that Paul knew he was by a revelation, by a vision. Is that right? Paul only knew Jesus by revelation, just like Peter. Peter had seen him in flesh, but he didn't know him by flesh, because Jesus says so. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. Even my own life didn't reveal it to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this, the thing to you, that he is the word of God. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. Peter didn't know him by flesh. God is known by simplicity and of revelation of Jesus Christ to the most illiterate person. Not your theology. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I'll build my church. No other rock accepted. No other things accepted. No other Roman rock. No other Protestant rock. No other school. No other nothing. But on exactly the revelation of Jesus Christ through the new birth. He borns in there. And he injects his own life. And your life is gone. And the life of Christ is projecting itself through you with the preeminences to the people, that they see the very life and works and signs and wonders that he did is doing the same thing through you. Amen. The Holy Ghost is very important. If you don't think you have it, you better make sure. If you thought you were a Christian all these years and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not a Christian yet.
It's an experience. It's an experience. It's imperative. There's no other way. That's the only way you can be identified with a sacrifice. Christ died for your sin. You see how God is looking at it? We got to look at a thing the way God is looking at a thing, not the way we think it should be. Sometimes we think, people think, they have an idea of what they think Christianity is or what it should be. But the Bible said, don't judge God by your feelings. Go back to the Word and see the way God is. God structured the thing. Go by the way God says you should go. You see what I'm saying? We must be born again. We must be converted. Conversion. Jesus compares apostles to go to Pentecost. 500 he gave the word to go. How many went? 120. What happened to the 380? It shows what was in them. You cannot jump higher than what's in you. You may make mistakes, but what's really in you, you cannot jump higher than that. You see, when I see Jesus there, he's longing for life. That seed gene on the inside of you will not rest till he get that baptism of the Holy Ghost. If that seed gene is really there, he won't rest until he comes to Pentecost. That's God. The deep is calling to the deep will respond. This thing is reality. This is where the rubber meets the road. Then you walk with Jesus. You become the church, the temple of God, because God is in you. It changes everything. The message is the reality. Now you're a partaker. I'm talking about the orange. You know how the orange tastes like. Somebody else can describe that orange better than you. But you know, because you want to experience it as being a partaker. You see? It's being a partaker. You know what it is to be a Christian. Then the message becomes real to you, because God now, you've heard this message, but God has come in the Holy Ghost and confirmed the thing. Now it's reality. Now what Brother Brennan saying something, you say amen because you know what you amen in. You're not just not because the quote sounds good. It's beyond that. So when everybody falling off, it don't matter, because you're walking with Christ. He's the one that's keeping you now. Sometimes you yourself don't understand it. When you find yourself going astray, something just pulls you back. He's your anchor. That's why I make you a message believer. A message, the message of God. You truly believe it. God has confirmed, God has testified that this son and daughter of mine is believing my word. Jesus said he won't lose the one. Hallelujah. Hope it was a blessing to you. Probably didn't come the way supposed to. But this is one of those fiery messages. It was a little burden in my heart to preach this. But that's God's word. We take the full word. Sometimes we don't like certain things, but it's good for us. Amen. It's needful. Sometimes you go to the doctor, you don't like needles. But sometimes you got to get the injection, or maybe certain medication you don't like. But you have to get it. They have to do certain things to you. You don't like it, but it's needful. God is interested in your soul. Brother Brown said, the only kingdom that God cares about, God don't care about the kingdoms of this world. God don't care about the U.S. and Russia and all these places. Brother Brown said, the only kingdom that God cares about is the kingdom of God. The Bible talks about how this earth is going to melt with fervent heat. God is after you. That's why the last seed, Christ is staying interceding until the last seed comes in. If you're not there yet, come in. But I'm going to talk about last bad confession. I probably skipped that. He said, if you face towards Calvary and you die before you get to Pentecost, I think he was trying to say, you'll still make it. He talked about the thief on the cross. But don't wait for that time. Don't wait for last bad confession. Because you don't know. Let this be, the prophet said, your last bad confession. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. We must come to Pentecost.
It's mandatory. It's up to you what you do with it. It's up to me what I do with it. But every individual must come to that experience. God wants to know you. My sister, Sister Kindness's mother, she told me this testimony. I was paraphrasing. She said, one day the angel of the Lord appeared to her. The pillar of fire appeared to her too. The angel told her, he said, I don't care about these people. I care about you. This is her testimony. She was sleeping one day and she woke up in the morning. She wanted to go to the bathroom. She saw the angel of the Lord standing over her. She was so scared. She threw her hand in her mouth. We got the supernatural all around us. But we need to get into position to experience these things. It's not only for Brother Branham. It's for you and I. But we got to come in. Into spirit. To experience these things, you got to come into spirit. You cannot stay in flesh. You got to come into spirit. This is God's order. There's no other way around it. God is waiting on you. Just as I am without one plea. Sometimes people run from church to church. They're running all. The very thing they're looking for is right in their face, but they're running here. They think they'll get it. They come to the goal. So, see? You're looking here. You look, just look up. He's right there. It's the same message wherever you go. Oh, I don't like what's happening in this church. You go to the next church until you find the next problem. Then you move to the next church. You see, they're focused on the wrong thing. Amen. People come to church to focus on what's going on around. This is what I used to think. If a man has the Holy Ghost and he's having a problem, that's not my business. I must get the Holy Ghost. Because if I follow that man, he's all set. He can be going whatever. He can backslide whatever. The Bible, the prophet saying, you once filled with the Spirit, you can't lose it. So if that man is sealed by God, and I follow that man, waste my time. When the rapture come, that man will get right going, leave me right here. What good does it do me? Jesus told, I think it was Peter, one of the disciples. He said, what is that to thee? Follow down me. Focus on Christ. You focus on Christ. Who call you? Christ. Who can help you? Christ. No man can help you. The pastor can only preach. The pastor can only pray, but he can heal you. It's the same Christ. Focus on Christ. The Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is our ticket out of here. We should start getting ourselves ready. Make sure we get into Pentecost. That's the preparation. That shows we're going to rapture. If we're just saying, I'm going to rapture, I'm in a rapture, and we ain't get to Pentecost yet. You see, it's not how much you come to church. We're supposed to come to church. You can be the most faithful. But until you get into Pentecost, you miss the whole thing. It's not performance. It's the birth. What is conversion? Jesus compared his disciples. He told Peter, the Bible says, except you be converted and become as little children. So what does that mean? To become like a little child, you have to be converted first. See, this by this sinful nature is enmity against God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. No matter what you do, it's flesh. Jesus said it. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So we need to come into spirit. That's what the Lord laid on my heart. I hope it's a blessing this morning. Encourage ourselves. We need to come into Christ. There's no other way around it. And it's up to you. Get on your knees and start praying. When I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I've been in this message for so long, I tell you my testimony. But I got to a place where it was do or die for me. It was just the Lord, grace of God, because I got to the place where I got so desperate. I either get the Holy Ghost or I'm lost. I pray almost all night. I think it was a Friday night. Because for me, it was like, I was leading songs, doing all these things. That don't mean nothing. I had to get to Pentecost. That was my lifeline. The Saturday evening we used to have men's prayer meeting at my house. God gave me the Holy Ghost that night. I didn't even expect it. I was expecting Friday night. Nothing happened. The Saturday evening, Brother Elijah came. He spoke on Pentecost. Imagine how I felt when I was sitting there. I got on my knees, raised my hand, something got a hold of me. For the first time in my life, I was free. I got to the place where this thing, I had to have it. You got to be sincere. Come with the deepest of sincerity. When the angel of the Lord came to the prophet, before the angel of the Lord came to the prophet in that cabin, look how the prophet was. He got desperate. He needed an answer. He got to the place where it was do or die. Then God showed up. You got to be serious. You see, God knows if you're serious or not. But God is faithful. If you really mean it and you're serious, God will confirm his word. I'm a witness of that. Amen. Musicians, please come. Hallelujah. Conversion. What is conversion? Hallelujah. Conversion itself, the prophet said, is the Holy Ghost. We must be converted. We must go all the way. Pentecost. That's what it comes down to. May we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Father, I tried the best I could to speak what you laid on my heart. I pray, oh God, that you would take your word. The prophet said you vindicate truth. This is the word of God. I just say what the tape says. Lord, may you vindicate your word to your people. You ordained this message to come today. You know why. Father, I pray, God, that you will help us to come to Pentecost. We need to know you, Lord. Paul said that I may know you in the power of your resurrection. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. We need to know you. To know you in the power of your resurrection. Father, help us, Lord. Increase our faith. Get us to that place to have an experience with you. As we leave this place today, we pray, God, that the Holy Spirit will take these words and quicken it into our hearts. Lord, we are here because you call us. You ordain us to this place. Help us, oh God. The Bible tells us that you are the author and finisher of our faith. What you started, only you can complete it, Lord. Help us to make ourselves available to you so that you can complete the work in us. We thank you this morning, Father, for giving us eternal life. Thank you for hearing our prayer. I want to say also thank you for healing our pastor. We bless your name this morning. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. To honor you. My heart, I worship you.